bitch about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
What's new? What's new? What's new? What's new? What's new?
Say, I'm glad you asked, because we've got the really big news right here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I love you, Pennsylvania. It still is my John. We don't know many words. That's why everything means John.
Are you still on the NRA? NPR? Was it NRA?
It's National Public Radio. Are you familiar? Do you get it down in the...
They play it out in the like college towns in North Carolina, NPR and stuff, and I mean, it's... To me, it's a bunch of junk.
And now...
So what if I smell like roast beef? This whole place smells like roast beef!
Our feature presentation.
You need to identify every one of those clips.
Right?
Wow. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 25th of April.
Happy one.
Fourth Christmas? No, third Christmas? No, sir. I haven't done the math.
I think it's one third Christmas today.
Sorry.
Have you not done the math?
I don't know, it didn't really matter. Didn't really occur to me until now. Until I heard that 25th, that magic 25th number.
Oh, so sweet.
What about K-Train there not having Mother Earth stop him from getting to work on time?
No, I feel like this is a different K-Dog. It feels good.
Is it K-Dog or K-Train?
It's K-Dog when you do good things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Mother Earth was conspiring against you, Kevin.
Mother Earth was against me on, I believe, Thursday and Friday.
Right.
But we made up over the weekend. So.
You did?
Yes. Aww. It's all good.
So what happened?
She's a bitch.
No. She's not.
She was on Thursday and Friday. Okay. She's in a very bad mood.
Yeah.
So,
just
doing better
now. Surprised to see you walk in early. I mean, I think that you had 45 seconds or something.
Probably,
before you went on.
Too much.
I was like, whoa.
I need to adjust the other way now. I need to go down to 30 seconds.
How was everybody's weekend?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
It was good.
Yeah. You be?
Hey, it was fine. It was good. I was thinking about Allie's been explaining hockey to me as the playoffs have gone forward, and I want to make sure I understand this.
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, I suspect what's happening is that the Kings are the real winners here because they're on vacation. They're laying on a beach in Hawaii right now. Look at all those other stupid sucker teams that are still having to work. Right? So the Kings, in a way, they are better because they're done. Because they've already clocked out and they're home now.
I feel like if you're not a hockey fan, you can't smack talk.
No.
I'm not trying to smack talk.
Yes, you are.
Trying to understand because Allie's been kind enough to explain hockey to me. Yeah. So I just want to make sure I understand where we are in the playoffs.
You're smack talking and it hurts.
So they're good, right?
Yeah, they're good, Bean.
Okay. Because vacation is better than work. Don't we all feel that way?
Well, yeah. Kevin,
so?
Right?
Sounds like, sounds good.
And just Chip, stop talking about hockey, Bean.
That's what I'm saying. Chip, you don't get to talk about hockey. How are your Ducks?
How are your little Ducks doing?
Well, I'll be honest. I was sad it's not going to be a Ducks-King series. Cause that's what I wanted.
You're looking forward to that because you and Kevin could wager?
Yes.
Ew, even wager sounded creepy.
How did you make wager sound bad?
There's nothing creepy about that.
So you and Kevin could wager?
You know, it's not the words. It's the way you say them.
How dare you. Listen, I know we have a big show today, particularly at 7:15, but I want to start with this story. You guys won't recognize the name, but maybe you've heard the story of Circe Hayes. How would you pronounce it? S-E-A-R-C-Y. Circe?
Probably.
Hayes. Last week, she was an unknown 21-year-old from...
She's Natchez, a bitch.
Nope. Oh, no. Nope, not yet. Nope. From Natchez, Mississippi. She was a guest on the Maury Povich show on Monday, though.
You are not the father.
Yes, she was on to determine whether her fiancé, 25-year-old Freddie Green, who had accused her of cheating on him, was in fact the father. And by the way, he did turn out to be the father.
Oh, thank God.
Which doesn't mean she didn't cheat, by the way. It just means that he's the one who impregnated her.
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So she's on the TV on the Maury show, which, by the way, stunningly is still on the air. And she became a viral sensation. Why? because America saw Miss Cersei Hayes, 21, and said, oh, my God, she looks exactly like Ted Cruz. She is the female doppelganger of Ted Cruz.
No, that is not good.
So she became a viral sensation. Numerous websites put side-by-side photos showing Hayes next to Cruz. Now, here's my favorite part of this whole story. Amazingly, Hayes had never heard of Cruz before the resemblance was pointed out to her, and she still knows little about him. She told the Huffington Post, I don't know his positions, and I've never seen him, so I don't know if he's done a good enough job to be reelected as president.
Oh, jeez.
She thought, I don't know who this dude is. Is he? Maybe he's the president? This is a human who's 25 who lives in America who didn't know who the president was.
Oh, she is on Maury Povich determining who the father is.
Yeah, that's the...
When Huffington Post pointed out that Cruz is not actually the president, just a candidate, she said, well, I don't know anything about him. So here's where the story gets even more interesting. Being an internet meme does not pay the bills, so the female Ted Cruz is hoping to capitalize on her newfound internet stardom by... Anyone want to finish that sentence?
Wow, weird. Running for off... no, she can't make money of that. Selling T-shirts?
Being a lookalike?
Filming a porn scene.
Oh,
dear.
Dear Lord.
And again, I remind you, she looks just like Ted Cruz as a woman. Look, I don't want to see Ted Cruz as a man having sex, much less a woman who looks like Ted Cruz.
Nope.
Xhamster.com, a popular porn website, I don't have to tell you, Allie, has offered to pay Hayes and her fiancé $10,000 for a six-minute sex tape. $10,000 for 6 minutes.
I mean, that's not a bad day at the office, right?
It's not at all. X-Hamster spokesman Mike Kulik said, I think a lot of X-Hamster viewers really want to see her in action.
I want names.
I want names. I don't believe that. Don't they have good-looking women on there?
I guess.
I assume the rest of them don't look like Ted Cruz.
You know, there's that whole novelty angle of people, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
X-Hamster figures it's doubtful Ted Cruz is going to film a sex tape, at least while he's still a candidate, so this is the next best thing. Hayes and Green have agreed to make the film. She says she has made sex tapes privately, but this will be the first time that millions of people potentially will be watching it. Again, this is the woman who did not know who the president was. It was on Maury. Looking to find out who the father of her baby was. She says, I'm fine with it because everything's going to support my family. I want to get my son whatever he wants. The porn offer was a no-brainer when they saw the amount they would get.
His son does not want you on that website doing porn.
We want to buy a truck, pay off our house, and we might get married. I don't know how far she thinks $10,000 goes, by the way. But you can't buy a truck for $10,000. You can't pay off your house for $10,000. Okay,
depends on the truck and the house.
Well... I never had anyone say, here's $10,000, go make a sex tape. Her fiancé Green admits he's excited by Hayes' newfound fame. It's kind of exciting and shocking to know she's famous. She's more famous than Madonna, he said.
Aww.
I'm now with a star.
That's pretty accurate.
Freddie.
That's a pretty accurate read, Freddie.
She's a star, you guys. You know, good for her, first of all. But second of all, I would be willing to bet that most of our listeners, if they were offered $10,000 for 6 minutes of having sex with their partner, would probably do it.
Really?
That's a lot of money for a lot of people.
Not $10,000, no.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, there are people who are barely getting by. $10,000 looks like a pretty good deal for that little work.
Yeah, but there are people that are barely getting by that could have gotten that money at any point so far and haven't.
Well,
they don't really want to do that.
But I don't think most people are getting an offer like this because most people aren't lucky enough to look like Ted Cruz.
Right?
So anyway, that is the Cersei. I'm going to put up a Google alert for Cersei Hayes and find out what that tape
You enjoy
out,
that.
Oh,
she really, really looks like Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I just looked at a picture. Good Lord. Oh, my God.
That is not a sex tape that we need. I'll just put that out there right now.
So that's what's going on in her America, you guys.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, you really know how to kill a party.
There is a restaurant in London where you go to nude. It's a naked restaurant.
Right?
I feel like those are two things you might not want to mix.
I don't get the connection, but people are really, really into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, marijuana for Passover is okay. That's good news.
Okay.
Good news. Harvey Levin from TMZ Today. We might as well get to it. At 7:15, we do have the announcement. All the details for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. All
is
the
it
details.
Is it no E Fiesta this year? Well, did we knock out the Fiesta?
I think we did. I think the Fiesta is gone.
Okay.
I don't know that we're not going to celebrate the Fiesta on the day, but okay. As far as the name goes, is the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016.
All right.
So
that's amazing weenie roast. Right. Yay Fiesta.
Right. Yay Fiesta. Right. Details at 7:15. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Chaka Zulu!
Right? Wow. Thanks for the callback.
Thank you. The best day of the whole summer every year, you guys, is a little thing we call the K-Rock Weenie Roast. And it is happening, and it is happening soon. We have all the details for you if you'd like to join us at 7:15 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday now. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people were going to see at the movie theaters. Take the temperature, if you will, of the movie going public. And a lot of people like computer animals talking to small children. That's what we know. Jungle Book, once again, had a big, big weekend. $60 million. Made it number one yet again. The Huntsman, Winter's War. You know, with the two queens fighting over Hotcoldia, remember?
Sure.
The land of Hotcoldia. Now, that debuted just at $20 million, so that was good enough to make it number two. Barbershop, The Next Cut, was third. Zootopia and The Boss were your top five films. Batman v Superman, Criminal, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Compadres, and Eye in the Sky were your top 10 films. Not familiar with Compadres. Anyone know what Compadres is?
Doesn't sound familiar.
No.
I'm not familiar with Criminal either by its name.
Saw it.
You saw Criminal?
Yeah.
What's that?
Remember that was the Kevin Costner, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that was going to be terrible.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Whew.
Why would you go? Well, I didn't remember any information about it, so I just watched the trailer. And in the trailer, it looked good. So I was like, well, I'll go check that out. And it was pretty weak.
Yeah?
In that Tommy Lee Jones is a doctor who was trying to learn how to take a person's memories and implant them into another person. But he was 5 years away from a human trial, but they needed to do it right away. So they did it into Kevin Costner, and he sort of was a criminal that... It was insanity. He was a criminal that couldn't feel love or hate, but then he got the memories of Ryan Reynolds, and so then he became human.
He was the Notebook.
But then it just went all to hell, and everyone died.
Whoa!
It was not good.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
It was sort of swinging for the fences and a big strikeout.
Well.
Huh. It fouled off a couple times. You know, they're still in it for a while, but then...
Trust me, if there's something good in a crappy movie to defend, Kevin will find it. No, still a couple of foul tips. $20 and a bucket of popcorn.
Well, Ralph, I looked up Compadres for you. It seems to be some sort of a Mexican crime movie. The American actors that we would know include Kevin Pollak and Eric Roberts.
Orly.
Wish I would have seen that one.
Yeah, that would have been better. All right. Sometimes dying can be the best thing for your career. And such is the case with Prince. I don't know if you saw the charts for this week's top 200 on Billboard, but Prince has the top two slots, as you can imagine, for his work. The number one best-selling album in America right now is The Very Best of Prince, his greatest hits collection. And Purple Rain was second in the top 200, followed by Sturgill Simpson. Mm-hmm. Sturgill Simpson.
He's amazing.
He's very popular.
It's the first time I've ever heard that name.
Really?
First time.
Huh.
He's a rapper.
No, he's not.
Nope.
Not even a little.
He doesn't rap, though, on this particular, his last album. He doesn't rap.
Not even a little.
So you had never heard of him either, Kevin? What form of...
Thought I took a shot.
What genre of music
is Sturgill Simpson? He would be considered country, but definitely alt-country.
Alt-country.
Then everybody shut up.
No, he's like a Chris Stapleton.
It's country. Go die in hell.
He's not a country. He's not on the country radio type country.
Go die in hell.
Nope.
It's not good.
But it's Sturgill.
Right. Ralph,
have
you seen the show Vinyl? Have you watched Vinyl on
HBO?
No,
I have not.
Oh, because he does the theme song for that. I thought you might know that.
Okay. What else you got?
That's it.
He's not country.
He's alt country.
But he sings a theme song.
You might like him.
I'm glad he's third. I hate him already.
Do you know Shooter Jennings?
I've never heard of him.
You're familiar with
Shooter
Jennings? He's in that vein.
Yes.
You know him.
I know Shooter Jennings.
He's that kind of artist.
Only because he's married to Dre DiMatteo, or was, or could be, or once was.
Here's another clip. Do you want another clip just to kind of identify who it is?
Yeah,
that's the
first clip for me. Wow. That is all country.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not standard country at all.
Does not get played on country music.
No, it doesn't.
Country radio does not touch him.
He's third, and I hate him. Rihanna's fourth, Santana is fifth, then Prince again, number six on the top 10 list. Chris Stapleton with Traveler, Kanye West's Life of Pablo, The Lumineers. There we go. There's a name I recognize and love. And then Justin Bieber. Congratulations to Kelly Clarkson. She and Brandon Blackstock have a baby, and they're showing off their new baby on Twitter. The name? This is a country. This is a country name.
All right.
You want a country artist? Not one of your BS alt-country like Sturgis Sanderson.
Sturgill Simpson.
Remington.
Oh.
Yeah, the boy Remington.
Doesn't have a choice, does he?
Yeah. Remington.
Doesn't have a choice.
Remington.
Remington Blackwood?
He's a son of a gun.
What's the last name again?
Blackstock.
Remington Blackstock.
That sounds like something you order. Hey, do you have the Remington Blackstock in? No, but we're getting some in tomorrow. Come on back, we'll give you a free box of shells with the Remington Blackstock. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee's 46 years old today. Joe Buck. Ugh. Ooh, Joe Buck. He's the worst, right?
I don't hate him at all. I think he's great.
He's the worst.
Thank you, Ralph. Okay, I brought this up. Both of them were like, you're crazy. You're the worst.
He's such a smug prick. He makes Bob Costas look humble. Oh, he's the worst.
I don't feel that way.
Stick to baseball. Get out of my football. Get out of it. Get out, Joe Buck. You don't belong.
He does a good job in football.
You don't belong. Him and Sturgill Simpson should go.
He's so good.
They should go.
They should go what?
Away from me. I didn't get much sleep last night. Renee Zellweger is 47 years old. Hank Azaria is 52. And, who has a birthday today? Who do you think is celebrating a birthday? You're goddamn right. It's
you
me.
You are terrifying.
Ooh-ah.
Ralph's eyes.
It was insane to watch.
He was just about to kill us all.
Oh, my God.
The legendary Al Pacino. One of my heroes.
It was frightening.
And probably one of my best friends. I'd have to say he's probably one of my best friends.
I don't think so.
Have you kept in touch with him quite a bit since you guys filmed that scene together?
We've both been very, very busy.
Oh, that's too bad.
Since we worked on that film together.
So you just text mostly?
We think all about each other.
I see.
He is 76 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a pretty short list of things that I want to do naked.
I hope.
Pretty short list.
I hope the list is zero.
I hope I never hear the list.
Well, I mean, like, I'll take a shower naked. That's one thing I'll do.
Okay. Bold.
That's about it. I think that's where my list is.
I see so many things
throughout the year where I'll read about a naked 5K, for instance, or we have a very popular festival here in Seattle where there's a naked bike ride where thousands of people get on their bikes and they ride down the street naked. There's naked skydiving. There's people who have naked gardening clubs, naked scuba diving. There's all sorts of stuff that people just say is more fun to do naked. So should this go on that list? Do we want a naked restaurant?
No.
A restaurant that you go to and you go in and there's little lockers and you take off your clothes and you go to your table and you sit there and you eat your meal in the nude. Do we need that?
Let me ask, is the chef naked? That changes things for me.
That is an outstanding question.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are the employees also naked or is it just for the diners? I don't know. The idea behind this restaurant in London, by the way, is that it is to create a dining experience that is stripped of modern industrial impurities such as artificial colors, chemicals, and gases, metal and plastic in the kitchen, and electric lights, smartphones, and clothing in the dining area. So they're doing away with all of that. It's true liberation to dine in the nude, they say. And by the way, here's the most remarkable thing about this story in London, okay? Is that there's a waiting list. The restaurant is called Bunyadi. There's a waiting list of over 15,000 people who want to go and eat naked. This isn't 20 people who thought it was a good idea. This is 15,000 people on the waiting list waiting to get into Bunyadi.
All of them guys.
Dine in the nude.
This is how it works.
All dudes.
They're all going to show up just waiting for one hot chick. That's what this restaurant is going to be.
We asked producer Dave if we could get a spokesperson on from the restaurant, and I believe we do have the man behind it. The genius behind this restaurant is the founder. His name is Seb Lyle, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. Lyle, thanks so much for coming on. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you are the owner, the chef, the promoter, the spokesperson. What's your relationship to this restaurant?
Sure.
All of the above?
All right.
I'm in fact, the owner and creator and manager, but I won't actually be doing any of the cooking itself. We do have a fully trained, very high-end kitchen staff, which will be providing all the culinary expertise.
Are they naked?
Of course they are.
Yeah. They are. Okay.
Oh.
It's all part of the experience. I mean, the premise behind the restaurant, which Bunyadi is the name of the restaurant, of course, is a Hindi term for base or natural, stripped down to its barest essentials, and that is translated in the food as well as the experience of dining there as well as the preparation of the food.
Hmm. Now, are there any concerns about what Kevin said, which is that this will just turn into a looky-loo situation where people will be trying to get in the restaurant just so they can stare at other people's naked bodies?
Well, we're not interested in that sort of mentality. And if that is where your mind is at, then this is not the restaurant.
Bean, they don't want you.
No one wants a looky-loo situation.
Right? Nobody wants
you,
Allie.
We're not interested in any sort of looky-loos or looky-bills or looky-steves. Anyone named Lucky is not welcome. This is not a childish situation. This is not puerile or for those with retarded sexuality who are simply looking for
a
thrill. This is a spiritual as well as a dining experience combined to make something that is unique, and certainly to London, and we think certainly to the rest of the world.
Why is the waiting list so huge then? What's up with that?
Well, because it's a pop-up restaurant. Mm-hmm. It'll be available only for 3 months this summer in London.
Right.
And so it is a limited amount of time, and the demand has been overwhelming. People are dying to eat in a situation where they will be unencumbered by modern technology, by clothing, by electric lights. Everything will be done by candlelight, and everyone will feel in a natural state, eating naturally, organically grown and prepared foods.
All right. What about the danger aspect of just being around hot things with no clothes as a buffer in case something gets on you?
Well, we recommend that you eat carefully.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but beyond that, there's nothing. We won't be serving any acid or broken glass or anything that might be permanently damaging. Just lean over your plate and eat appropriately.
Okay.
And we are currently right now running through the entire menu. We have a full seating of specially invited guests who are in the nude, and we are trying to pare down and to hone our menu before we actually open, and so far it's been amazing.
You're doing that right now?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm now serving a plate of clams to one gentleman, and seems to like those clams quite a bit.
Okay.
Man loves a clam.
Sure.
And now there's a woman over there biting into a sausage. Oh, no, that's not nearly as popular. Oh, the melons are coming out. Yes. The gentleman in the room seemed to like the melons.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chicken breast also. Chicken breast, very popular.
Okay, good.
Oh, now for dessert, the chocolate starfish.
Right?
No one seems to want to eat the chocolate starfish.
Does sound like a very classy place. Less than 1 hour from right now, you will have the details you need to know to be with us for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. Give you the date, give you the bands, give you the ticket on sale, all the information coming up next hour here on K-Rock. It is Monday. That means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you this morning?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
I know you're very busy. You guys are generating Prince stories at an alarming rate. I can't imagine how many people you must have on this thing right now as the story continues to unfold, Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't grown our staff any. You know, it's the same people. We've just been working real hard.
Just working really hard. Well, congratulations on them.
And I will tell you this. You know, the one thing that has just shocked me about it mm-hmm. is the comparison to the traffic from Michael Jackson. What do you think?
Oh. I think Michael Jackson is probably bigger. But then again, I think TMZ is much more popular now than it was all those years ago when Michael Jackson died. So I don't know. I'm still going to say Jackson bigger.
So we had 9 million people on the site the day that Michael Jackson died.
Right.
Prince?
Yeah.
18 million.
Wow.
Whoa.
And is that because there was – initially you were the only source, so everybody was going there?
I think it's a couple of things. I think what you just said absolutely is true, but that was also true, remember, with Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. that for 45 minutes nobody else knew or nobody else reported it.
Right. Don't you think maybe now it's TMZ is so much more credible as the years go on? That people go to you guys?
I think we were credible back then. I mean,
no, I'm not
saying you weren't.
I'm saying but now you're breaking everything.
I think that, look, the site is bigger. But also, I think a lot of this has to do with Facebook. That what happens is it's a phenomenal change in the Internet. That, you know, the Internet is kind of this digital website is the starting point. But it's how people push these stories around. You know, digitally.
Right, right.
And Facebook is so enormous that literally, I mean, I'm telling you, at one point when we put this story up, I thought the site was going to explode. I was looking at the metrics that we have here, and I've never seen anything like it, even, you know, times four. I've never seen anything like it. And I literally, and the site started to shake a little bit, and our tech guys, you know, were brilliant in fixing it, but I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I would imagine crashing would be a real fear. And that makes a lot of sense because everybody put the link to your story on their Facebook page to share it, and then it just grows exponentially from there.
It's made a huge, huge change. But I do think you're right. I mean, I think that just the fact that we had it alone for a half hour was, you know, everybody in that half hour we're sharing it.
Harvey, it was we haven't spoken with you. Dax was kind enough to jump on with us on Friday, but it's still so shocking that we live in a world with no Prince. What was your initial reaction when you got the tip?
Well, I mean, look, I will tell you something. We broke that story 6 days before he died, that he made this emergency landing in Moline, Illinois,
mm-hmm. right.
And I never believed what the rep said. We had heard what we ended up putting up. We just were able to get more sources and felt comfortable putting it up at a point. But we had heard that he had OD'd, you know, at the time we put that story up. We just didn't feel like we quite had it. But when they said it was the flu, it never made sense to me. And I believed, based on everything we knew, even at that time, that he had OD'd and he was in bad, bad shape. So, you know, of course I was shocked, but at the same time, it wasn't from out of the blue because I knew he had a dire situation where he almost died. He almost died in Moline. And it was so bad that they had to administer a save drug at the airport. They couldn't wait until he got to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, all of that makes perfect sense. But then I thought, well, once you see him out over the weekend and he's riding his bicycle and he's going to record store day and he's showing up at the nightclub, you're thinking, okay, whatever was wrong with him, he appears to bounce back. That's why it was still a shock to me.
Except, see, I mean, look, what didn't make sense is if that was the flu, how does he bounce back overnight? Because you don't bounce back that way overnight if you have flu that requires you to make an emergency landing.
Right.
So that never made sense to me. But somebody who is ODing, you know, they can go back and forth depending on what they've taken. It's more in their control, you know, and that's kind of a weird way of putting it. But I don't know. I felt for the whole week that this was an OD. I mean, we kind of knew it. And so it was shocking, but it wasn't one of those things where it came totally out of the blue.
Right. You had some advance warning that something bad was going on with his health. I know you have the tower audio up right now of Prince's actual plane getting the permission to land there in Moline. And you also have been covering the story that I'm really interested in, which is that Prince, as far as we know, did not have a will, right? So there are a billion questions about what happens to everything in his life, including his music.
Well, The only thing I can say is, I know as of 2 years ago, he didn't have one. That's what we're told. So
okay.
I doubt in the last 2 years he did it. So it's not even so much that. I mean, there are heirs that, you know, if it's actually cleaner if there's no will, because then, you know, there's a, by law, it goes to certain people. But I can tell you that everyone we've spoken with, people who worked for him and with him, say, you know, a brilliant musician, no doubt, but he was a terrible businessman. And that's not surprising, because a lot of genius musicians are. And he just would impulsively try and do things that didn't make financial sense. He would fire people all the time, you know, in the financial side of what he did. And, you know, he never had that kind of stability. There are reports that he was worth $300 million. We're told it's less than half that. Not that that's a small amount of money, but, you know, the way it was put to us is his finances, when you look at the way he kind of organized things, they were kind of a mess. And again, he is not, you know, a business major. He wasn't a business major. He was a brilliant right. musician.
How much family does he have?
Well, apparently not a lot. I mean, he's got a sister who we know was kind of, you know, working a lot on, you know, on making the plans for the memorial and everything. But the, you know, he has a couple of ex-wives who remained close to him, actually. He had a girlfriend at the time he died. And I don't know whether he provided for her or not. I mean, if he didn't provide for her in the will, it's kind of unlikely that he did. But he had a very closed circle of people, and it wasn't that many people in terms of relatives either.
I wonder what's going to happen to this vault of unreleased material that he has, apparently hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. I wonder if there's a path clear to have some of that stuff sorted and released.
You know, some of it will be. I mean, the issue is, you know, my recollection is he's released like four albums in the last couple of years.
Yes, that's so correct.
He did put a lot of his music out. Now, there's clearly music that he didn't, and it's going to do well, and eventually it'll get out. I mean, there is money to be made. There will be somebody running the estate, and it's kind of a no-brainer. You release what's there.
Right, and probably also his music will finally be available on most streaming services, because he
That's
was
right.
very much against that.
Which
Let me ask you one last question about this, Harvey, and that is, were you surprised, or is there some reason for the cremation happening so quickly? He died on, what, Thursday, and he was cremated on Saturday. That is unbelievably fast. That's faster than even the Jews do it.
Well, Jews often do it in 24 hours. I don't think there's anything remarkable about that. I mean, look, they did a full autopsy. They did a toxicology. So it's not like anybody's hiding anything by cremating him. I mean, they were going to have a service for him. And the issue is, do you have a service with a casket or not? And he clearly didn't want a casket. So that doesn't really surprise me.
Okay. All right. Well, we will definitely keep our eyes on TMZ.com for all the latest in prints and what's going on with the Kelly Ripa drama and so much more up on the site right now. Don't forget, TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Channel 11, TMZ Sports. Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1, south of Wilshire, airs Monday through Friday on Channel 13 at 5:30, and the original TMZ throughout the day on Channel 11. Don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ tour at the only authorized ticket dealer, and that is at TMZ.com. Have a great week, Harvey. Keep up the good work, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Thank you. All right. There you go. That's Harvey.
Your phone calls are next. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good. What do you want to talk about? What do you want us to talk about? If there's anything in the news, if you were at Coachella weekend too.
Coachella would be great, Kevin. Yes, because there were a lot of differences between the two weekends. I'd be interested to hear what people saw. I also did not watch the fights on Saturday night.
Well, you're bad.
Am I bad?
Yeah.
I understand Mighty Mouse is still the greatest.
He is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know who isn't? John Jones.
Yeah.
Even though he won, right?
He won, but he was not very good.
I Cormier's feel like got to be feeling good about
if
that.
If DC would have fought him, I think DC beats him.
That's a great
he
topic.
Was super rusty.
To discuss, if anyone wants to add that to your list, 1-800-520-1067. By the way, also conflicting reports, even though Conor McGregor says he is back on UFC 200, no one on the UFC is acknowledging that or seconding that, by the way. It could this be more posturing from Conor to try to force their hand to make it happen? I don't know. So we can talk about Coachella, talk about UFC, talk about Prince, whatever else is going on in your mind. It's your chance for phone calls on any topic with Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Here's the number, 520-1067. We'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. Coming up in less than an hour, all the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. Right now, we are inviting your phone calls. If you want to call on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you got some of that free HBO over the weekend and you want to talk about the Beyonce special or the return of Game of Thrones and Veep and Silicon Valley last night. Big weekend for HBO.
Yeah.
Anything on your mind, call us right now. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
What's good indeed? Let's start with our man Nick. He's in Thousand Oaks. He is on line 5, and he's going to get us going here this morning on a Monday.
I got Rich. Is it Nick or Rich?
Good morning.
It is Rich. Hey, Rich. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, just going to comment on the Jones-St. Preux fight.
Yes, John Jones.
Yes. You know what? Everybody's giving him a bunch of, you know, grief about his fight. Mm-hmm. It's a lose-lose for him in that fight, okay?
How is it a lose-lose?
Because if he goes in there and goes 100%, there's a chance he's going to get hurt. He wants Cormier.
Right.
He went in there, did the dance, you know, made the man happy and walked away. He didn't get hurt, I don't think. I haven't seen the reports yet.
So wait, so you're suggesting he held back, he did not fight as well as he could have?
Absolutely.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-mm. Why?
Not in the UFC, not at that level.
Well, because, I mean, you only have so many good fights in you. I mean, the guy has been fighting a long time. Why would he go in there and give 100%?
Well, he hasn't fought in like 18 months or something. Hasn't it been forever since he's actually been in the ring?
Yeah, but he's got 23 fights.
Yeah. And I think you give it your all because if you lose, then you don't get to fight Daniel Cormier next. That's why you give it your all, is to keep yourself in position for that fight that you want.
I think he's a smarter guy than that.
I reject you totally, Rich.
John Jones and smart aren't two things you put together.
No, he didn't want to tip his hand to Cormier. He's going to kick Cormier's butt.
If he went 100% at the level that we all thought he might be at, he would have knocked him out in the first round. He went all five rounds,
yeah, all
right?
Five rounds, yeah.
And then it was a unanimous decision. He doesn't have it in him anymore, I don't think.
No, St. Preux is a dangerous guy. You can't
he
go
is,
in there and take that chance.
Okay.
All right, we reject you totally, Rich, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get another perspective on the night. Here's
what's up.
Hey, good. Yeah, Jones, he did work. I mean, he didn't throw a single punch that fight, but I just want to give it up to Mighty Mouse. I think he's going to go after Silva's 10 win streak and just do work in UFC.
Mighty Mouse, he really just destroys. He just goes in there and destroys.
Yeah. It's insane. And, I mean, I think Dana's going to have a really hard time matching him up for the next fight. But I'm excited to see Cormier fight Jones. I mean, like I said, Jones didn't throw a single punch that I saw that whole fight, but it was still a really good bout.
It is funny what you say about Demetrius, though, because there was a time where we were wondering who they were going to get to fight Ronda Rousey. Remember? Because she had beaten everybody, and you look around and go, well, there's no competitor for her. That's what it's starting to be like with Demetrius Johnson, because he won't change weight classes, and he's beaten everybody, and beaten everybody handily. So what do you do with a guy like that?
Those upsets, you know? It's anybody's fight, as you can see, with Rousey, with anybody in the match, with people breaking their legs, you never know what's going to happen. That's what makes it exciting.
Yep, that's true. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you called, Dick. But I will tell you something else about Mighty Mouse, because we just had him in again last week, and he's been very cool about being on the show. Is there anyone you know who can flip that switch of his determination more than Mighty Mouse? Like, he's so chill and so casual and so loose and so light.
You almost
until he gets in the octagon and he becomes a monster.
You almost go, this guy doesn't care.
Mm-mm.
When you're talking to him, you just go, he doesn't really seem to be hyper about the fight. He's not up for it. He's just sort of there.
And he doesn't have any kind of like personal vendetta. It's never personal for him. It's just business. He just is able to step out of the ring and then just go back to just being a regular dude.
Yeah.
He's just a dad and wants to sit on his couch and watch Game of Thrones and eat ice cream. I mean, it's so funny, his mentality, how well he's able to work between those two things that you wouldn't think you'd be able to exist in one person. All right, let's take how about Adam and Azusa? He's on line 2. He's up next. He's got one more quick sports thing we want to do.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning.
What's up? What's good?
Hey, so I want to see what Dave the King of Mexico thinks about the Clippers losing on Saturday.
I bet he loves it.
Now, I didn't see, I don't know where the series is. Where is it now?
It's 2-1.
2-1, okay.
So, I play the Trailblazers again tonight. So,
okay.
Depending on tonight, it could go back 2-2, and then we got to bring it back home.
All right, well, the king just stepped in. Let's see how he's feeling about his clips. What do you think, Dave?
I didn't see it.
What?
I was at Coachella.
Okay, but still, when you saw that they had lost, are you worried at this point about Portland?
No. I knew Portland was going to take one. So, you know,
one
Clippers.
Really, I thought we were going to sweep.
I'm sorry?
I thought we were going to sweep.
He thought Clippers were going to
sweep.
Yeah,
I mean, they played hard, but, you know, playing game three is usually when the road team or, you know, the lower seed will take one. So that was the one game. I think Clippers take the next two.
So you were expecting this and you're not worried?
No, I'm not worried at all.
Okay.
Okay, what about if we lose tonight? What happens?
They're not going to lose tonight.
Well, then that's bad.
Dave's
then they're
not watching.
Yeah. That's right. He's not going to watch tonight either. He's
got tonight. I'll watch.
He's got other stuff to do.
But then Wednesday, boom, we bring it home.
Right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
What's good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
By the way, Mark Maron on the program tomorrow is going to be joining us in studio. Also, Tom Cavanaugh later in the week. Ralph, I know you're excited about that from The Flash. Eddie Ift is going to be here. And world premiere brand new music from a band called Blink 182 is happening Thursday morning right here on K-Rock.
This is Blink 183, though, right? This is like the next generation. This is the next step up.
I think they're still using the name Blink 182. It's very exciting. You know, just last week we had the Garbage stop by with their brand new song, and now we got Blink coming by with theirs. So it's a lot of good stuff coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, Weenie Roast details for you in about 20 minutes. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Jungle Book continues to dominate box office dollars, $60.8 million made it number one. Huntsman, Winter's War, debuted to $20 million. That was enough to make it number two. Barbershop, The Next Cut was third. Zootopia and The Boss were the top five movies at the box office. Followed by Batman v Superman, Criminal, Kevin's new favorite film, Criminal. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Compadres at number nine. And Eye in the Sky rounding out your top 10. Hologram for a King, the new Tom Hanks movie, came in just shy at the top 10 with $1.2 million in its debut, but it only opened in a couple theaters, so I suspect we'll be seeing more of that soon.
That and the Elvis and Nixon, same thing, very limited release.
Speaking of movies, Purple Rain is being re-released in honor of Prince's passing. For those who wanted to see the movie in theaters again, there are more than 160 theaters across the country showing the film until next week. The chains of Carmike Cinemas and AMC Theaters are showing Purple Rain on the big screen. So if you've never seen it, up on the big screen, you should check it out.
Does that movie hold up?
I think it's like eight theaters locally that are showing it. So you can find one near you, all the AMC theaters.
New Beverly as well is doing two nights of it.
There you go. So you can check out Purple Rain.
Do you guys think that movie holds up, or is it so 80s that it's hard to enjoy at this point?
I watched it over the weekend.
You did.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you forget maybe some real aggressive.
It's not good. It's not a good movie, Ellie.
It's not great.
Let's just say it. It wasn't good then.
But maybe some throwing of women and things that you maybe didn't think much
sort of
looked before.
Over before.
Yeah. Now you're like, hey, you were horrible to women throughout this whole movie.
So you're saying it used to be okay to beat up women, but
Absolutely. Now it's
that's not.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you're glad he's dead. That's what I'm reading.
Right.
You're so happy he's dead.
You guys are horrible.
Listen, Prince was a brilliant entertainer and a musician and a singer-songwriter. As an actor, maybe not. Maybe that wasn't an arrow in his quiver.
Not everybody can do that.
Right. But then you put the powerhouse of Vanity next to him. Or who was it? Apollonia? Which one
Apollonia.
Was that one?
Yeah.
Apollonia.
Woo! 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 I'm just saying,
so
go
hot,
for the soundtrack.
Though.
Go to the movie for the soundtrack.
That's why people liked it, is the
yes,
soundtrack.
Because it, as a movie, you might as well just double feature it with Criminal. Just watch those two back to back, why don't you? For the perfect cinematic experience. Great googly moogly. Hey, Whovians are happy. We have a new companion.
We have a new companion.
With Doctor Who.
Sure.
In the TARDIS.
Sure.
What are you shrugging for?
As he
Doctor
travels
Who.
Through space, he has a new partner.
What does TARDIS stand for, Kevin? You know?
Yeah, but we can't use that word anymore.
Oh, Kevin.
Well, I'm saying I don't want to be inappropriate. I'm being sensitive.
How about that whole deal?
How about that?
I think it's time and relative dimension in space. I
right, that's what I meant.
Her name is Pearl Mackey. She's currently in the smash hit play in the West End called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
That's not a thing. Not a real thing.
It's a big time play.
It's been around for a long time.
A smash hit in London and on Broadway in New York.
The dog in his lifetime. What is it?
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
No.
Bean knows it because it's all about an Asperger's.
Oh.
A person with Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah, I think that's been a huge book and a huge
certainly
hit.
It has amongst your
number,
people, yes. Certainly, because you finally have someone you can point to and say, hey, finally I'm seeing myself reflected on the Broadway stage. Right?
I haven't seen the play yet, but I understand it's very good. I think it won the Tony last year.
Got a map
correctly.
Of it, though. Yeah, her name's Pearl Mackey, and she will be joining Peter Capaldi's Doctor Who. So it's very exciting. We have a brand new companion. However, the sad part is we won't get to see her until season 10, which begins in early 2017. So
what?
We got to wait a long time for more Doctor Who. For New Who, as I like to say.
No, sure.
I do like to say that.
Who is your favorite Doctor Who?
New Who? New Who? New Who? New Who? I do like to say it. See? I didn't get much sleep last night. Mm. I think we've established that.
Yeah.
I have so many. They're all good. All of them. But,
how many times do they change?
There have been 12 Doctors.
Oh, okay.
My personal favorite, just because it's the Doctor Who I grew up on, was Tom Baker. You may know him. He was the one with the curly, a big head of curly hair and the floppy hat and the long scarf. He was sort of the quintessential Doctor for a long time. However, all the new Doctors, starting with Chris Eccleston, and then David Tennant was brilliant in the role. Matt Smith really kind of took it to a whole nother level. And I think Capaldi's also great. So I'm just a sucker for that show. Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee, 46 years old today. Nuts are Joe Buck. Joe Buck yourself. 47 years old today. Renee Zellweger. A lot of people complain we're not giving Renee Zellweger a bell. Yeah,
well,
we can in good conscience.
I don't think
she is adorable.
Oh, Allie. Have you seen the post-plastic surgery, Renee Zellweger?
Absolutely.
Do you recognize her?
She's beautiful. She's a beautiful human. I love her so.
Define beautiful.
I need Ralph to stop making the face that he's making.
She's got a face like a toucan now. She's 47 years old. Hank Azaria, right?
Right?
How good was he in Ray Donovan?
Great.
Is that FBI
he's good
agent?
In everything. Oh, yeah, he's a great actor.
Great. 52 years old. And speaking of great actors, Al Pacino celebrates his 76th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
What you need to know about K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, and I'm glad Ralph is here. Because
I resent this.
What? What do you resent? I'm
you
saying
people
I'm glad
keep
you're here.
Coming at my people. That's why.
Some of your people need to become.
My people are the best.
Some of them are terrible.
They're the awesomest.
Why did it come up on our show on Friday that there was one time a superhero named Matter Eater Lad? How did that conversation get around to that point?
He's Matter Eater Lad.
Right, right. But how, why did it come up? Like, in conversation.
Anybody remember?
No.
No, there was a new show that's going to be on.
That had Matter Eater Lab?
No, that it came out of that because there were other stupid people on this new
show.
Oh,
we were talking about Krypton.
Yes.
We were talking about Krypton, right. The prequel to the Superman legend, of course. Superman, as an infant, as a newborn, is sent from his planet of Krypton by his scientist parents by rocket ship to Earth in order to save him from the destruction of the planet. And they're doing a new series. There's a pilot for a new series called Krypton, which is a prequel to the... that story when the planet gets destroyed. It's like Superman's grandfather, basically. So from that, Bean asked me a question about Superboy. He's like, is Superboy the same person or a different person or whatever? And I made a short answer, which is the Superboy that Bean is thinking of, it was supposed to be Superman's younger adventures. But since then, there's been they reinvent these characters every periodically now. So there is now a separate Superboy, but it's...
How did we get to Matter Eater Lad?
Well, because Superboy used to travel into the future in the 31st century, and he used to hang out with a group of superheroes called the Legion of Superheroes.
Uh-huh.
And they had, of course, Cosmic Boy and Saturn Girl and Chameleon Boy and Lightning Lad. They had all these cool superheroes, but they had a few... They had a few stiffs in there. They had a few failures, a few that weren't so hot.
Like
Matter Eater Lad.
So he ate matter?
Yes.
Just eating gates and stuff if they couldn't get through something?
Exactly. Whatever.
The
problem
locked.
Was,
oh, the Allie, door's
let's get whatever the problem was, he, Matter Eater Lad could just chomp, chomp, just eat it. He could eat anything, and then it was no longer a problem.
Did he poop? Or did it just get all absorbed into his body?
They didn't really cover his pooping in the comic book.
It's a superhero story.
They didn't cut to a big splash panel, a big single page of Matter Eater Lad squatting over the toilet. I don't remember that in my childhood.
I'm just wondering, you can't just eat a door and then never see it again.
He's a superhero. What do you understand?
All right, now how long did he last?
He's still around. Matter Eater Lad rocks.
Are you kidding?
A is not around and B certainly does not rock.
Listen,
I feel like he's got stomach issues.
There were many heroes in the Legion of Superheroes that perhaps could have been questionable.
Right.
Like Stone Boy.
Stone Boy. Yeah. What did he do? Just throw rocks?
No, he had the ability just to turn himself into stone.
Okay.
That's you. You're Rock Boy. That's a whole different thing.
And what could he do like that?
Well, he was indestructible because he was made out of stone.
Right.
But then he'd have to come out of it and then, you know. But they could pick him up and use him as a battering ram sometimes and knock down doors. So that came in handy.
What about the...
So I thought we'd take a look at, like, the top 10 maybe lamest...
Okay, good.
In the eyes of some people, lamest superheroes.
But you, of course, are vouching for all of them as being essential, right?
These are all perfectly fine superheroes, and they're all useful in their own way.
Except for Matter Eater Lad.
Another example from the Legion of Superheroes, a friend of Matter Eater Lad was Bouncing Boy.
His superpower was...
He could inflate himself to the size of a giant ball, and he could bounce.
And that helped him...
Bounce.
When he needed to...
Bounce.
Bouncing Boy.
And he could knock over villains and stuff, like a big bowling ball.
Okay, maybe just by a gun.
You could, like, you push him off a building, and you could bounce on top of another building. It came in handy sometimes.
Nope. All right.
With his girlfriend, Triplicate Girl, who she could make herself into three. That's pretty useful.
Okay,
right?
Well, that's at least
especially
useful.
In the bedroom. No right? Fair. Triplicate
right?
Girl.
Sure.
Squirrel Girl is another perhaps dubious, questionable superhero.
Okay, so she could change into a squirrel?
No, Kevin, that's ridiculous.
That
she
is
had
ridiculous.
The mutant
bad.
Power to telepathically communicate with squirrels.
How does that help you?
If you have a whole bunch of squirrels, it comes in pretty handy if you can organize
can
them and tell them what to do.
So what can they do? They can't attack?
Bite your ass off. Why not?
Because
you'd be
squirrels.
Terrified. If a squirrel jumped on your face right now, you'd scream like a girl.
It's true.
I'd just call Matter Eater Lad and have him take care of
him. Have him eat the squirrel?
Because they're matter, right?
Skate Man. Skate Man
is not a thing.
Not a great superhero.
He could skate?
He was Billy Moon. Vietnam veteran and martial arts enthusiast.
Right.
Who decided to avenge the death of his best friend murdered by bikers. So he did what any of us would do. He would wrap a scarf around his head to disguise his identity and put on his roller skates. And he would be a vigilante on roller skates who also had kung fu expertise. So he would roll and then kick and stuff.
I got to tell you, I sort of like Skate Man.
See, Skate Man.
I sort of like Skate Man.
Skate Man rocks.
I'm not sure he rocks, but I sort of like him.
Arm Fall Off Boy.
Now that was the one I saw that one in a list. A
lot of people
you're saying
were
arm,
bringing up Arm Fall Off Boy.
Just the name itself is, they didn't put much work into it.
That's something Kevin would come up with.
Right, that's my point. So his arm falls off?
He had the ability to detach his arms and use them as weapons.
Huh. Can't you use arms as weapons when they're attached?
But what if I could take my arm off and then hit you with it?
But can't you hit me with your arm when it's attached?
Probably so much more force with another arm.
Right, it's like a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Arm Fall Off Boy was the name.
Arm Fall Off Boy.
That's what you're saying.
Now, in the defense of the Legion of Superheroes, once again, he was a legionnaire. He was rejected by the Legion of Superheroes. They passed on him becoming a permanent member.
That's a ridiculous thing.
He was not
Arm Fall Off Boy.
The Red Bee. The Red Bee.
What's the Red Bee?
He was a vigilante, much like Batman in the 1940s. But instead of patterning himself against as a bat, he patterned himself as a bee. He'd wear like a big puffy red pirate shirt.
Okay.
And red and yellow striped tights.
Yeah.
But the thing that really made him remarkable was his crime-fighting companion. Like Batman had Robin. Mm-hmm. The Red Bee had a trained bee named Michael that lived in his belt buckle.
It was an actual bee
yes.
that lived in his belt buckle.
Yes, and when he would push the button, Michael would be released. And
then, don't get him, Michael.
And Michael would be able to do
how much
the
damage,
red bee's bidding.
How much damage could a bee do?
Have you ever run from a bee that's buzzing around your head?
No.
Oh, you have.
Come on. Michael came after you. Didn't it?
Was that the giveaway?
Yeah, that was the giveaway. Nobody likes bees, especially when it's trained. It can do whatever the red bee tells them to.
Lame.
Don't bees live like 4 days or something? Didn't you have to constantly replace Michael?
Listen, you leave Michael alone.
Okay. All right.
One of the best sidekicks ever.
All right.
Disco Dazzler? Disco Dazzler was not a great superhero.
Disco Dazzler?
She was a wannabe singer who was forced into being a lawyer by her parents. So in order to follow her dream to become a disco singer, she would fight crime at night.
That old trope.
Singing disco music?
Because she had the power to generate sound into light with her voice. So she would sing. She could dazzle you. You couldn't see stuff. You'd be blinded,
temporarily blinded
by the light that came out of her mouth when she sang with her voice. The Dazzler.
I bet the Disco Dazzler ran into Skate Boy all the time when they would go out partying, right?
They'd see each other there.
All the time.
Extraño. Extraño.
What is Extraño?
Extraño is not only a sort of a lame superhero, he's enormously offensive. He was a gay Mexican magician.
What?
Named Extraño.
He's got everything.
He was just a big walking gay stereotype in the 80s, and it was just an insult to Latinos and to gays and to magicians. It just insulted everyone.
How can
everyone.
You insult magicians?
Extraño was a gay Hispanic magician. And he was just full of stereotypes, and he was very swishy and flamboyant. And
where's his movie?
His teammates used to call him Auntie when he was dishing out romantic advice to them and stuff. And he once fought a vampire with AIDS called a hemogoblin.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were going.
And that's
for
when Extraño announced that he in fact was HIV positive.
Wow.
So it was really an insult.
And this
on
was
every
in
level.
The 80s?
This was in the 80s.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, maybe he caught it from Infectious Lass. Infectious Lass.
Oh, that whore.
Another superhero who could just temporarily give you an illness.
Okay, anything she decides?
Yes.
Okay.
So imagine you're fighting Infectious Lass,
uh-huh.
and she gives you the fear, you know?
Oh.
That's a great power to have, right?
You can't
fight and have the fear at the same time.
Okay. All
then
right.
A bouncing boy comes over and starts bouncing on top of you, and you get hit with Stone Boy or Arm Fall Off Boy. And then, lastly, my top 10 lamest superheroes is a Doorman.
Doorman.
Doorman had the mutant ability to transport himself from one location to the other, but only if that location was the adjoining room.
Very specific.
It was very specific.
What?
If I wanted to go to this studio next to ours here,
right.
If I was doorman, I could just... And I would just transport into there.
But what if you wanted to
there.
Go two rooms over?
I'd have to go to this room first and then the next one over there. You know, you gotta do...
Wow.
Due diligence. The doorman could get into any room from the room next door to it.
Wow.
And he was doorman.
These all existed.
Yeah, he was one of the Great Lake Avengers. Not the main Avengers, the ones that worked in the Great Lake. In Michigan.
My favorite is Arm Fall Off Boy.
You still like Arm Fall Off
I still
off
like
boy?
Him. And Matter Eater Lad isn't so bad now.
See?
After hearing those.
That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
I'm talking.
Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? How about now?
It's actually 8 minutes past time. Our bad.
Weenie Rose, make some noise!
Okay. So, natives of Los Angeles and Orange County, may I have your attention, please?
This is Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we're back to do the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Oh, yeah, baby!
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, Saturday, May 14th, Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, featuring
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Lumineers.
Ophelia, you've been on my mind, girl, since the flood.
Weenie Rose, what is cracking? How are you feeling right now?
Kids in the tantrums.
Mike Snow.
Oh, I get a little bit Genghis Khan.
Lucas Graham.
Soon I'll be 60 years old, but I think the world is cold.
Cold War Kids.
I am a cannonball,
Bishop.
K-Rock Weenie Rolls 2016.
The Strumbellas.
I got guns in my head and they won't go.
Garbage.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Nothing but thieves.
Bare hands.
And victory.
Please put your hands together and welcome Panic at the Disco. How many people ever heard of
Weezer?
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation.
This is Rivers from Weezer.
K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, the kickoff to summer.
From Bud Light, raise one to right now.
Okay, you had me at Weezer, you had me at Garbage, you had me at Panic at the Disco. Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the all-time great summertime live bands, all appearing together for one day only on one stage at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. If you missed it, the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016 is happening on Saturday, May 14th. Kevin, let's run down that list one more time.
All right, you got your Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You got your Weezer.
Yep.
Right.
You got your Empire of the Sun.
Okay. Great.
Panic at the Disco.
Yes, please.
The Lumineers.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Garbage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cold War Kids.
What?
Fits in the
Tantrums. Yes.
Fits in the Tantrums.
Go
another,
on.
Another amazing
Mike
live
Snow.
Band, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Lucas Graham.
You.
The Strumbrellas.
Strumbellas.
That's what I've said. Nothing but Thieves. Bishop and Barehands, all in one day.
I love that Barehands album, too, by the way. It is a great, great, great lineup. I can't believe we're back and doing it again on May 14th. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale is coming up this Friday at noon. And again, by now, if you've ever attempted to buy tickets for one of our shows, you know you must be a K-Rock Street Team member, which is free. It takes about 30 seconds to sign up at krock.com. That way you get the password so that you can buy tickets when they go on sale through Ticketmaster.com this Friday at noon. Okay? Once again, this year, proceeds are going to Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation. It is always a very fast sellout. There are some particulars of the details at krock.com if you want to get the information on, you know, how many tickets you can buy and that sort of thing and how all that works. But prices are the same, and once again, it's going to be another great year. And by the way, a very bittersweet year, because after all this time, this is going to be the last ever show that we do down at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. So we're going to be kissing that venue goodbye. I hope we're going to burn that mother down at the end.
I think that's the plan. Oh, no, it's not the plan.
It's
at all.
Not the plan. No.
Let's hear it again.
Weenie Rose, make some noise!
Okay. So, natives of Los Angeles and Orange County, may I have your attention, please?
This is Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we're back to do the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Oh, yeah, baby!
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, Saturday, May 14th, Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, featuring Red Hot Chili Peppers. Lumineers.
Ophelia, you've been on my mind ever since the flood.
Weenie Rose, what is cracking? How are you feeling right now?
Fits in the Tantrums.
Mike Snow.
Get a little bit Genghis Khan.
Lucas Graham.
Soon I'll be 60 years old, but I think the world is cold.
Cold War Kids. Bishop. Of the Sun.
K-Rock Weenie Rolls 2016.
The Strumbellas. Garbage.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Nothing but Thieves.
Bare Hands.
And
exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Heal the Bay and Surf Rider Foundation.
This is Rivers from Weezer.
K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, the kickoff to summer.
From Bud Light, raise one to right now.
I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, Kevin and Bean. You guys never play the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's going on with that band today? Well, here's your answer. They are playing the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, just announced moments ago on Saturday, May 14th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, along with Weezer and Empire of the Sun and Panic at the Disco and the Lumineers. Garbage. How great is that news, by the way? great.
How sad for everybody that just realized their prom is the same night.
Well, we can't. A lot of them. May 14th, yeah.
Can't do anything about that. I'm sorry, you guys. Cold War Kids, also Fitz and the Tantrums, also Mike Snow, Lucas Graham, the Strumbellas, Nothing But Thieves, Bishop, and Bare Hands. That is a hell of a day. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon, just announced on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get all the details at KROQ.com to make sure you're lined up, ready to buy your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Here's the headline. Marijuana is kosher for Passover, leading rabbi rules.
I don't.
It's all good, people.
I'm going to ask you, Allie, because Kevin might not know what
How
makes.
Dare you?
What makes an item kosher?
It's the way it's prepared.
Does
right?
it have anything to do with like not having certain animals in it or anything like that, or is it? Or does it have to be? Is it? Can it be anything as long as it's blessed by a rabbi? How does kosher work?
You're asking a Catholic.
Okay, I thought you might know. You seem smart on this issue. All right. What's going on with marijuana, Kevin?
It is okay for Passover. That's the point. It's as long as you're using it medically.
Oh, I see. So prior to this news,
correct.
You would not be able to use medical marijuana during Passover.
Correct.
Huh. That is interesting. Well, we wanted to find out more about this story, so we asked Dave, who could we talk to? And we're going to talk to the man who has blessed the medical marijuana, Chaim Kanievsky, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Rabbi.
Hello to you.
Thank you for joining us. And are we in Passover?
First of all, I'd like
yes.
to say,
yes.
I've never heard a dumber bunch of goyim before in my life.
I apologize.
You know nothing.
Yeah. This is not my strong
suit.
We accept your scorn.
Yes, absolutely. Would you enlighten us, please, Rabbi?
So tell me, Shiksa, what does make something Passover? What can be kosher for this or that? I won't ask the other dumb goyim because nobody knows what's going on.
All right. You don't have to make fun. I just look at this as a teachable moment to help all of us understand what makes
if
something kosher.
Only you had a rabbi on the phone to ask that question.
All right. We're asking you now.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, certain things are a treif, okay? You can't have them. You can't have pork, for example. That's
right.
Not okay, even if it's blessed or, it has to be prepared in a certain way. No. No, I say to you.
Okay.
Some things you can never eat.
Can never eat. Okay. And during, I hate to ask another question and appear dumb, but during Passover, is it more restrictive usually than during the rest of the year?
Well, it depends on what kind of Jew you are, how faithfully you follow the rules of Judaism.
Okay.
But for Passover, certainly, you don't want to eat nothing or take nothing into your system that is not kosher.
Yes. Kosher. Okay. So this is big news. This is new in 2016 that medical marijuana is now okay. Thumbs up from you, Rabbi, for use during Passover.
Well, you know, amongst the Ashkenazi Jews, they would say that cannabis is part of a group of fruits called the kitniot.
Kitniot.
Okay.
Certain grains which are forbidden during Passover.
Uh-huh.
Like rice and peas and lentils, which is a shame because I love a good lentil soup.
Oh, wow.
I take the crackers and I crush up the crackers and put it on top of the lentil soup.
Right.
And then I stir it in and just a splash of Tabasco sauce.
I think we're getting off topic here. So you're saying that
I'm so hungry now.
Some Jews have said no to medical marijuana.
Yes,
why?
We are saying it's okay.
Why do you see it differently?
You use it only for medical purposes.
Okay. All right.
Use it to try to escape from the everyday problems of life, because into every life comes problems.
Right. Problems.
You
right,
must
yeah.
turn to the Almighty for guidance and strength. Don't try to disappear through the use of drug use. That's not what we're saying.
Okay.
Only for medical reasons, if you do that, and I cannot say this strongly enough, and it's also been blessed by a rabbi.
Rabbi, okay. All right, well, this is great, great news for our Jewish listeners, then. Oh,
what's that?
Is this?
Oh, that's some medicinal right there, I'll tell you.
Oh,
boy.
I see.
But, I feel so much better now with all my medical conditions.
Right.
I have.
What are you treating there, Rabbi?
Well, you make me sick.
Good enough. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. That's another band on the bill for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. Details at K-Rock.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon to join us on May 14th at the Weenie Roast. Very excited about that announcement. Right?
That is the best Chili Peppers ever.
Just getting in the mood.
Was that Chili Peppers?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, coming up just after 8, guys, I have a news report to bring you of the exploding popularity of Quidditch on college campuses.
Nope.
No.
Yep.
Nope.
Apparently it's a thing.
See, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem.
It is a thing.
You are, sir, a part of the problem.
How am I part of the problem? I'm just telling you what's on the news.
Can you fly?
Answer Ellie's question.
Can you fly? Can you fly?
Technically, no.
No? Okay, not a thing.
Technically,
no. Quidditch, then it's not Quidditch.
Not Quidditch.
Well, yeah. You'll be surprised to see that people disagree with you on this one.
Well, they're wrong.
Apparently is Quidditch.
And we're right.
People love it, and apparently they're making a professional league out of it.
They should be murdered.
I'm not sure we're going with that.
That's the answer.
I don't think that's the answer.
Let's start thinning the herd, people.
I think that's the
answer. Let's cull. Let's start culling.
I don't believe culling is the answer.
That is coming up right after 8. First, though, Robin's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Hey, speaking of big concerts. Like that Weenie Roast you guys were talking about.
Yes.
It's a hell of a bill, right?
Sure is a hell of a bill. This Guns N' Roses thing is for real. After headlining Coachella and announcing their reunion tour earlier this month, they've added additional shows to their tour. That is optimism. That is just optimism run amok. God bless them. Are we going to do all the shows we promised, we're going to do even more shows. How about that?
Ralph, I agree with your sentiment, but they haven't missed one yet.
Correct.
How many have they played?
Like 5.
Okay.
5.
So that's the big cause for celebration. They
it's
got
more
through
than
5
I
shows.
It's more than I expected from Guns N' Roses.
I've got a list of about 30 dates here in front of me.
Well, that does seem...
That's
a bit of a reach. That seems like a lot.
If Axl shows up, how many dates in do the band members start just throwing bows to the dome?
They're getting paid a lot of money. They definitely have incentive to be there.
Well, as long as someone's getting paid money, they never fight.
That's true.
We know that to be a fact.
It's universal.
Anyway, hopefully, here's the additional shows you can check out. That show's been added in Chicago. Oh, we should have joined Chicago.
Nope. We're good without it.
Boston. New York City.
Boston?
And the really exciting news, a brand new date in the band's hometown, a little city I like to call Los Angeles.
All right.
When's that?
That will be, let me see here, August the 18th. August 18th. No, a little place I like to call Dodger Stadium.
What?
Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
Gotta check that out.
I did not see that coming.
They're also playing Qualcomm down in San Diego on the 22nd of August.
Huh.
Big stadium shows.
Yeah.
Beans, Neck of the Woods, Seattle at CenturyLink Field on the 12th of August. And a bunch of venues. The Chicago dates have been added at Soldier Field on July 1st and 3rd.
Getting ready for the big Carcella.
No.
Are they playing Fenway?
They played Carcella already. That's over. What's that?
Are they playing Fenway?
No, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Whoa.
Playing. July 19 and 20 are the dates there. So it's all big
that's
stadium.
Huge.
They're all big stadium dates. So Guns N' Roses.
Huh.
Ooh.
So we're at the end of the tour. Los Angeles at the end of the tour,
So, you're saying...
I'm just saying...
Go ahead and make other plans that day, too.
If you're a gambling person...
If you're willing to throw the dice, pick up some tickets, I'm saying.
And hope maybe they'll be at Carcella next year.
Right? Yeah. Carcella. I hope they're at Carcella. Did you guys catch any of the HBO special Lemonade on Saturday night? The new Beyonce hour-long special.
Saw it. Loved it. I'm all about it.
She is getting a lot of attention for her new album that just dropped, Lemonade. Her new video album, they're calling it.
Pretty little face.
She does have a pretty little face, Rodney. But part of the big controversy, though, the theme of the special, if you watched it on HBO, was largely about infidelity. Speculating about marital problems between her and Jay-Z.
Oh my God, really?
Including one particular song, Sorry, which included the cryptic lyric, Better Call Becky with the Good Hair. Calm down, Beyonce.
Ralph,
so,
I know
Twitter.
You didn't watch it, right? It was, Allie, you saw it, right?
I did.
It was uncomfortable.
how raw some of these songs were about the woman scorned.
There was some rage.
There was some rage. I mean, going down the street with a baseball bat, just taking it to anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talk about how she's going to slay a bitch and stuff. I mean, it was angry Beyonce. I don't ever want a woman to look at me the way Beyonce was looking at that
camera. They all look at you that way, Beans.
Yes. Even they women don't know you.
Cranky.
So, Becky with the good hair got people to a thinking.
Who does that mean?
And so, the Beehive.
The Beehive. It's the worst.
It's not a thing. A Beehive isn't a thing.
Well, it is.
It's either a Beehive, or if you're a Bay fan, you better come up with another name for yourself. The Beehive launched into their investigations, and they came up with the fact that it had to be one and only Rachel Roy, fashion stylist Rachel Roy, who, it's a long, convoluted story, but she used to be married to Damon, what's his name?
Dame Fubu Dash.
Dash, yeah. And that was beyond, that was Jay-Z's partner back in the day. And so there's a pre-extending relationship there. And also, this was the thing that led to the fight with Solange in the elevator. And it's all very convoluted, but all fingers seem to be pointing at this Rachel Roy as the woman in question. Well, stupid Rachel Roy responds to that speculation on Saturday night with a post on Instagram which reads, "Good hair, don't care." Mm. Call Becky with the good hair. "Good hair, don't care," was her response. So she's saying, "I'm the good hair, and I don't care." Well, as you can imagine,
it's on.
The Beehive exploded with online bullying and death threats. But no one was...
Here we go! It's on!
It's not a race war, really, at all.
Race war's on, everybody! It's going down!
It's not a race war. No one was more upset at this reaction online than celebrity chef Rachel Ray.
What?
Wait, Rachel Roy? Ray had comments about Rachel Roy?
Here's the thing. A lot of people in the Beehive are stupid. Surprisingly, because they call themselves the Beehive, which isn't even a thing. So it's a shock that they're dumb.
Were they threatening the wrong person?
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
They mistook Rachel Ray for Rachel Roy. And now poor Rachel Ray is getting death threats and bullying online for something that she had absolutely nothing to do.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
She's just trying to make her 30-minute meals. Getting death threats. It's very
She's
sad.
She's just splashing some Evu into the pan.
Wow. That's got to be so weird for her to just
How
all of a sudden
furious
out of the blue
would
start...
you be if all of a sudden you're getting death threats and a deluge of hate mail via social media and you're just named Rachel? That's your crime.
What about all the Beckys?
Right.
When it wasn't solved. What about all of them?
Right.
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 And this just
How about
in,
that whole deal?
Becky is usually a white chick, so it's all very confusing. I need you to be clearer, Beyonce, on who we should hate. And this just in, Beehive, we know who did the cheating. His name is Jay-Z. Maybe go after him. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to release my album and make the dude more money on Tidal. Come on! I'm done.
That was a moment with Allie.
I'm not sure who to be mad at now or what happened.
Tune in right again next week for Lonely Feminine Rage. Our new segment.
Wow. We just got taken on a little trip, didn't we?
We sure did.
We did.
We went to a dark place. This is a dark ride.
More to do with the narrator than it did with the subject of the story.
I am not buying another ticket.
Allie has no friends.
Yeah, but she's got a lot of feels.
Sure does.
Yep.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, legendary actor Al Pacino, 76 years old today. Hank Azaria is 52. Renee Zellweger is 47, as is announcer Joe Buck. And Jason Lee. His name was Earl?
That's right.
And he was also keeper of the Chipmunks.
Yep.
So he's had a lot going on in his life, that Jason Lee. 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is the Lumineers. They, of course, are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, Saturday, May 14th. We made the announcement earlier this morning. It is at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Empire of the Sun, Panic at the Disco, the Lumineers, Garbage, the list goes on and on, and the tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Go to krock.com for details.
Allie, are you cool with the Lumineers? Nobody cheated on anybody? You're all right with them?
I love the Lumineers.
You had a lot of feelings about Beyonce a few minutes ago. You calmed down?
I might have blacked out right there. And as Chip mentioned, it was a filibuster.
Yeah.
And it happened.
It happened. But we're not sure what it was.
Right.
I'm just saying. Here's all I'm saying about the whole situation.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Okay. We need to get back into that.
I'm sorry. We're out of time. What about the International Quidditch Association, you guys? What about the IQA? What about that?
Huh.
So Quidditch, of course, from Harry Potter,
is played by over 300 teams in over 20 countries around the world. I came across this story on the CBS Sunday Morning News last weekend, and I wanted to share it with you guys. And, of course, they do start by talking about how popular Harry Potter has been over the last almost 20 years.
It's been nearly 20 years since the first Harry Potter book came out and proceeded to cast a spell over fans around the world.
All right, I'm going to tell you, Kevin, that it is going to be impossible for you to get through this story because you will hate this reporter so much.
Cast a spell.
And I hate her as well, by the way. I hate everything about this lady who's reporting for CBS News. But she's talking about how Harry Potter was a sensation. It was one of the biggest movie franchises of all
time. But don't we all know that?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
But how people don't want it to go. And one of the things that is the lasting memory of the Harry Potter experience for many people is they started playing Quidditch. So Quidditch, apparently now, you guys, is a thing. Now, Quidditch, for folks who don't watch the movies or read the books, what are they? Muggles, right? Muggles are people who are
Muggles, yes.
Right. It's a game that's kind of like – it's a little bit like rugby, I guess, and it's a little bit like playing tag. It's a whole bunch of sports kind of mixed into one to try
where
to make
you're
it,
flying.
Where you're flying. Right.
In all cases, you are flying.
You do fly.
You do fly during the books.
The whole time.
Right? Well, I think
100%
they do.
100% of the time.
I'll fly all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think they do address the flying, but let's find out a little bit more about Quidditch.
And now Pottermania has spawned another craze. One based on the high-flying fantasy game played by Harry and his friends called Quidditch, which has now jumped from the world of wizards to the playing fields of Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Welcome to the U.S. Quidditch World Cup 8!
Yes?
This is the World Cup 8,
by
the way.
He said 8? Did he say 8?
Yes, he did.
Real world Quidditch.
Balls out!
Complete with players riding broomsticks.
Did he say balls out?
Yes.
That's
balls
a
out.
Whole different game.
Yeah, balls out. And apparently there's, I don't know the terminology, but there's the snitch, I want to say.
Yes,
the
uh-huh.
snitch.
That's
and
150
that's what they
points.
Chase, right?
Right. And the snitch has a little ball that hangs off of their back over their butt, and you're supposed to grab it. It seems very sexy.
Like a dingleberry?
Yes, a little bit like a dingleberry.
Quidditch has exploded into the college scene and high school scene all over the world. It's absolutely amazing.
All right, let me ask you guys for a definition in your mind of the word exploded. Now, is Quidditch so big that it's hard to avoid, or did you have no idea that it even existed until this report?
I don't know, because she said in high school and colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you're that age, you can't avoid it? I would doubt it.
We've been able to avoid it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's even been the subject of a documentary called Mudbloods, a Harry Potter reference, of course.
People get passionate about it because they grew up with Harry Potter.
The documentary introduces Alex Benepy. He's one of the founders of Quidditch.
All right, everyone, listen up.
I have been playing since we started the sport in 2005.
That was when a classmate at Middlebury College turned to him with an idea.
This weekend, we're going to try and play real-life Quidditch.
Now, shouldn't it have stopped there?
Yeah, somebody should have said, can we fly? No. Okay.
Too bad.
I haven't seen this. I mean, are they literally running around with a broomstick in between their legs? Just
yes.
running? Oh, what?
Yes.
No.
They literally run around, and you are. And they address that in the rules.
No. The broomstick is how they fly in the movie and in the
exactly.
book.
Exactly.
So
but they
don't
fly.
Need it because
That's
they're
right.
not flying.
Bingo.
Oh.
Yes, you are correct.
We were freshmen, and I just thought to myself, there's no way this is going to work. This
right.
is going to be so dumb.
Right, yes.
Not so dumb after all. 11 years later, the game is played by thousands of athletes all over the world.
Athletes, you guys.
Athletes.
Athletes.
Come yep. on.
Although players are often asked some unusual questions.
All right, this guy is my favorite. Listen to the disgust in his voice when we ask reasonable questions like, oh, I don't know, can you fly?
What is the snitch? Do you wear a cape?
How do you fly? Do you really use brooms?
I love that.
You're asking if I use a broom because clearly I don't need to use a broom? Yes.
Open up a blog.
He's mad at us, by the way, for what I think are pretty reasonable questions. right? All right, Ali, I think this is your part. What are the differences between the Quidditch on the page and in the movie and Quidditch in real life?
Earthbound Quidditch still has hoops and balls. Sadly, players can't fly. Instead, they simply hold a broomstick between their legs. Alex Brown and Missy Sponagle admit the broom thing takes some getting used to.
What's the point of having the broom between your legs?
That's a great question, right? Again.
Don't you at some point go, okay, the broomstick thing, look, we're all having fun. The broomstick thing sucks, and it doesn't help us at all, so let's get rid of it.
Because you really are, it's like you're a two-year-old playing horsey. I mean, basically, right?
You know why you have to dribble a basketball? Because someone invented the sport and said, you got to dribble a basketball. Why do you have to have a broom between your legs for this? Because it's Quidditch.
But the question is, you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a broom.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I think everyone recommends wearing a cup and no one does.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
What?
So apparently the question she was asking was, you're a man and it's a broom. I think she was worried about some sort of ball snap.
I love the way she asked that question.
Yes.
She was not going to say it.
So he says, yeah, you're supposed to wear a cup, but we don't. All right, final clip, and again, this is from the CBS Sunday Morning News, about the future of Quidditch,
guys.
Now, it's
got to
be.
Olympics?
It's got to be. Let's find out.
Even with all these undeniable displays of athleticism, Quidditch still doesn't get much respect. In the movie The Internship, Quidditch is a game that's played for laughs.
There are sports that are socially acceptable, and for whatever reason, Quidditch isn't socially acceptable yet.
Well, for whatever reason, you guys. I can't think of why it would be, but for whatever reason, we're not as cool as basketball or hockey.
What does the future hold for the fastest growing sport based on a fantasy series filled with wizards and magic wands?
Kind of hard to argue with that distinction.
Is that a category?
Yeah, apparently it is.
We got this, guys. Come on.
With a little help from the Quidditch Referee of the Year, Alex Shear, Quidditch is going pro.
I am working with a group of individuals on starting the first professional Quidditch league.
And yes, there will be Quidditch trading cards.
You get a lot of people who resist Quidditch. They try to fight it and they try to ignore it and block it out. But it's one of those things, you can't fight it. It's coming.
You can't fight it, you guys.
Can you not fight it?
I feel like it's maybe stupid. Alex's parents are mortified.
Let's talk to Denise real quick, just from Carson, please, line one. Denise, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. So you've seen Quidditch in person.
Yeah.
And they run around and they have the broomsticks between their legs.
Yes, it was the most ridiculous thing ever. And the thing is, at first, we thought they were setting up rings for, like, dogs to, like, jump through.
Right.
And we're like, those rings are really high. And then all of a sudden, they whip out the brooms. A few kids were wearing, like, capes and some.
I was
going
to ask about capes. Yeah. You know that half of them have capes.
They have capes. And the snitch, I guess, whatever role that person plays in the thing, they run around in, like, all yellow outfits, like little yellow tights or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like weird pants or socks. I don't know what it was. And the only reason we figured out what it was because my kid was like, oh, that's Quidditch. We're like, what the hell is that? And we looked it up and we were just like, oh, my God. And the worst part was they were running around on brooms and hopping around and throwing something. I'm like, in the movie, I could have sworn they were flying.
Denise is part of the problem because Quidditch isn't getting the respect it deserves, you guys. Listen to the way she talks about it.
Because she doesn't respect it as a sport?
Doesn't respect it.
I do not respect the sport whatsoever at all.
They're professional athletes, Denise. That's what we've been told.
No, they aren't.
Thanks for calling.
Playing garbage because A, awesome, and B, mm-hmm. K-Rock Winnie Rose 2016. Made the announcement earlier this morning.
So excited, by the way, that new Garbage song that they brought in last week is amazing, and I'm so excited to see that live along with the rest of the set. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Empire of the Sun, Panic at the Disco, The Lumineers, Cold War Kids, Fits in the Tantrums, and so much more, all on the bill for Saturday, May 14th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, just announced this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Please go to KROQ.com right now for details and make sure you are a street team member so you can buy tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. It's going to be cool. Remember on Death Corner a few weeks ago, I did you the story about the woman in China who got into an elevator and it got stuck.
Yeah. Yes.
And she died in that elevator. She was there for a month before somebody came. And the part about the story that I will never forget, will never leave my mind, is that there were scratch marks on the wall
of
her trying to get out of the elevator.
Sounds
and
like a scary movie.
It's the worst. Does.
It is the worst.
Are you guys scared of elevators?
I'm not at all.
Not until that story a few weeks ago.
I am not at all. However, millions of passengers every day around the world take elevator rides, and sometimes you get stuck in an elevator, and almost all of the time, you're fine. You're stuck for a couple of minutes. Sometimes they got to call maintenance. Worst case scenario, they got to call the fire department. But 99.99999% of the people who get stuck in elevators are fine. That doesn't mean it's not scary when you're in there. It doesn't mean you don't get hot. You start sweating. You start worrying about what's going
to
happen.
You start looking at who you're going to eat if you have to come
right
to that.
Right.
Who you can take.
And I will tell you, I do think, and I bet you guys are the same way, when you get onto an elevator and it is way packed, mm-hmm. It does cross your mind. Oh my God! What if this is the time the elevator stops because it's so uncomfortable already? Just riding to the 8th floor is uncomfortable. If I have to be in here for a few minutes or longer, I'm going to freak out.
I don't have that at all.
It doesn't bother you?
Nope.
You don't think about that when you get into a packed elevator?
Nope. No, I don't.
Okay, that's weird.
I don't. But a lot of people, I understand. A lot of people do.
Elevators are in the news a lot right now. Ralph brought us that story the other day of, was it Dave Navarro, who was in an elevator that fell, that dropped 10 floors. Yeah, and he ended up being okay. And then there was the USC football players. Zach Banner tweeted out that they were stuck in an elevator. And I think this was their fault, by the way, because 8 linemen got into an elevator at one time, which had to far exceed the weight that is allowed in that elevator.
They were 700 pounds overweight. 700 pounds.
So they're fine, by the way, but they did tweet out, I guess they decided to make the most of waiting for rescue, and they tweeted out them, singing a little song?
Banner, USC, checking in. We're stuck on the elevator.
Oh, my God.
8 linemen.
Why did you have to say Zach Banner?
We're screwed. Help us.
Help us.
Can you imagine 8 offensive linemen?
Oh, huge dudes. Just getting
monster.
sweatier.
Oh.
And then they...
It's the elevator rap.
Okay. They sound like they're taking it well.
They're having the best time, right?
They're not panicking.
It's not bad. No.
All right. I don't know that we've ever done this phone topic before, but we are looking for you if you have ever been in an elevator that you couldn't get out of. If you were stuck in an elevator. That's something different. That's something where if you're stuck in an elevator is what we're looking for right now. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
Bean!
It's not me. It was Steve.
Right.
Steve hit it. Steve's the one who hit it.
Stupid Steve.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think? You think some of our listeners have been stuck in an elevator? I don't think I ever have been in my whole life.
That was a conscious choice.
It was, yeah. I don't think I ever have been either.
Allie, stuck in an elevator? How long were you in the elevator? What did you do? Did you panic? How did you get out? We have many questions about you. If you were stuck in an elevator, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Panic at the Disco. Another one of the bands. We're playing all music this morning that are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, which is Saturday, May 14th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Go to KROQ.com for details.
Forget Panic at the Disco. How about Panic in the Elevator? Huh?
Yay!
Wow. Talking about listeners like those USC football players who were recently stuck in an elevator for some time. We wanted to hear your stories of when it happened to you. Man, we have some terrifying stories. Why don't we start with, Aubrey. She's on line 4, Los Angeles, please.
All right, Aubrey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi.
Good morning. I'm not a he, but I'm a he, but that's all right.
Okay.
All right.
Your name is Aubrey, though, right?
It is.
Okay.
So it's pretty much on you.
Right.
All right, so where in an elevator?
We are in Brazil, out in the middle of the countryside, way far away from, like, any city. And there's about 10 or 12 of us stuck in an elevator that fits 8 people. All family members ranging from kids age 3 all the way up to, like, adults, including 2 women who were pregnant.
Oh.
One of them got claustrophobic, and about 15 minutes later, she decided to puke, and we were still stuck all in the elevator with this nice smell.
That's not
so
what
listen
you
to
want.
This, you guys. 12 people, 2 of them are pregnant, 1 of them is vomiting, plus little kids. That is a nightmare. How long were you guys stuck in that elevator?
About 45 minutes to an hour.
And how long did it seem to you, Aubrey?
Like an eternity. The smell. Like, I couldn't get past the smell. I almost got sick myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awful. That is awful. All right, last question. Kevin said the first thing he would think is look around and figure out which one you're going to eat if you guys get stuck in there. Did you pick somebody out?
Yeah, the big guy who got on last.
Right?
The most meat.
You got the most exactly, meat, right? Yeah, you can feed the whole rest of the elevator. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Alex, he or she, whichever, is on line 6 in Long Beach. Let's see what's going on with Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Monday.
To you as well. You were stuck in an elevator.
This time last year in Washington, D.C., me and a friend and I got stuck in probably one of the deepest elevator shafts that was built in this city.
How deep?
I thought it'd be funny to jump up and down the elevator, not knowing that a sensor would get set off and we would get stuck.
Wait, that's
why
that
would
sets
you
off
do
a,
that, Alex?
No, wait, that sets off a sensor?
Well, apparently in this elevator it does, but I mean,
why would you do that?
I was trying to scare my coworker. I thought it'd be funny to jump and down.
Mission accomplished. I imagine that you scared her.
Oh, maybe an hour and a half later when the fire department is coming across the other elevator with a ladder just to put another ladder down into the elevator.
Wow.
She probably wouldn't stop crying till probably like the next 45 minutes.
Wow. How long were you and your deep shaft stuck in that elevator?
Probably about 3 hours or so, I would believe.
3 hours?
Yeah. If you actually like Wikipedia, it's like one of the deepest like metro stations in the world. So.
I'm not going to look it up. Got to be honest. I'll
take your word for it. Glad you called, Alex. Thanks for the call. So that's just from him nonsensing around, just jumping up and down. He caused that, right?
Just trying to scare his coworker.
Let's face it. Most of the times, it's out of your control. You have no control over what happens to the elevator, but this guy caused it. All right. Yeah. Let's try Ryan in Buena Park. He's up next. He's on line 7.
Did you think we would get anywhere near this many calls?
No, we're packed. We got plenty.
All right. Ryan, hi.
Hey, guys. Hopefully you're having a good Monday.
We are.
All right. Easter 2010, Easter Sunday, my wife goes into labor, and we go to St. Joseph's Hospital. And I don't know if you remember, but we had a big earthquake that day. That was the last big one we had.
Okay.
And we had gone through the ER, and the maternity ward's kind of high up on St. Joseph's. So we get in the elevator. There's a cop in the elevator with a guy who's just squirming around under restraint.
Oh, excellent.
And all of a sudden... Yeah, it's a good start. So then the earthquake happens when we're at about between the 4th and 5th floor, and the sensor goes off, and we are just stuck. And immediately, my wife's in labor. She's huffing and puffing, and the guy, either he's mentally ill or high on drugs, I don't know what he was, wets himself and then just starts screaming and trying to get out of the restraints.
Oh, dear
and,
Lord.
Yeah, we were there for about 20 minutes. And
your wife was in labor the whole time for all 20 minutes, and that guy was screaming for all 20 minutes?
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. And on top of that, her water broke about 15 minutes in.
That was a wet
elevator. So it was a slip and slide. It was good time. But baby was healthy. Everything was good. But it was honestly, it was my personal hell for 20 minutes because I was completely helpless.
No
even
kidding.
Even the cop looked at me like, we are screwed right now.
But your kid is going to have such an awesome story to tell about the day here she was born, right? I mean, that's quite a delivery.
Mental illness and earthquakes go together like, you know, chocolate and sundaes, you know?
Right.
Okay, that's a good takeaway from today's show. All right, thank you for calling, sir. Well done.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
We're going to tell you about a restaurant coming up after 9 o'clock that is getting ready to open up in London in June where clothing is optional.
Yeah.
You can go and eat in the nude.
Mm-hmm. Don't order the soup.
That's good advice.
Right.
It's all coming up. First, Rob is here on a Monday morning with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm just saying, don't order the soup. If you cheat, you got to pay, right? If you cheat, if you're a cheater, you pay. Cheaters pay.
Are we talking about the naked restaurant still? Or?
No, I just...
I think he's talking about Tom Brady.
Just the breaking news about Tom Brady and Deflategate.
That is still a thing?
It is.
It is if it's a corrupt league and a guy just wants to put his thumbprint on something that's such BS and should have been done a long time ago.
Well, the U.S. Appeals Court doesn't agree with you, Allie. Apparently, the United States of America said, we don't like cheaters in our football game.
Oh, that's... such a big liar.
So the big cheater will indeed have to serve his 4-game Deflategate suspension.
That is still a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because cheaters never prosper.
I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
Donald Trump's going to pay for his legal fees. So I'm assuming he'll have to fulfill that suspension in the first 4 games of the season.
Right.
Which is good news for you, Kevin, and news for you, Chip.
Arizona plays in the first
four games? The first game of the season is against the Arizona Cardinals. The next week, they face the Miami Dolphins. So I'm saying if you are a fan of those two teams,
that's good news.
You've got to have a good
news. All right, so that's still a thing. Good.
Allie, who's your who's your backup quarterback, Allie?
Garoppolo.
Oh, Janice Garoppolo?
Yes. She's amazing out there on the field.
I thought she was funny, but I didn't know she could play football as... Well,
didn't he play really well, too?
Yeah, he's not terrible, right?
No, he's great. He's hot.
Great. He's a great he's
if we're talking
great
about
plus, he's hot. Right.
Super hot.
Look, he's he may not be good enough to beat the Cardinals. He's good enough to beat the Dolphins.
Oh, come on.
I'm good enough to beat the Dolphins.
And let's be honest, we also have another guy that's a great quarterback, if he needs to be, in Julian Edelman, if we had to go that route. I'm just saying. There's a lot of things that could be done, but again, corrupt league.
And you have Joe Cheater. Too. He's another,
right,
he's
that
another player on
part of the team, right?
They took him just for the name. They didn't even see him play. He said, he's one of us. Put him on the roster. Make the jersey.
Joe Cheater.
It's Monday, so we're looking at the top 10 moves at the box office. Showbiz Beat, to put that finger away, young lady.
I will not.
The Jungle Book, number one at the box office. $60.8 million made another one yet again. The Huntsman, Winter's War. Debuted at $20 million.
Let me jump in here, Mr. Garman.
Yes?
Wasn't this movie incredibly expensive and made no money? Wasn't this one of those that cost like $150 million and then they just put it out there and the public went, nah.
The Huntsman?
Yeah.
I believe it was pretty expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
But the first one, the Snow White and the Huntsman, did very well for itself, so I guess they figured there was an audience for it, but I guess without snow.
Right?
No go. No snow, no go. That's what America said.
Nope.
I don't think anyone said that.
Barbershop, the next cut was third, Zootopia, and The Boss.
You just said Zootopia like such a Philly boy. Sorry.
He's a Philly boy. Like,
but did you hear it come out? It was cute. It was my John, what just happened. Mm.
Zootopia, by the way, the last film Prince ever saw.
A strange
story
fact.
About how much of a movie fan he was, but because he was Prince, he could never go to the movies. So there was a local theater near Paisley Park that he used to rent out the entire theater at midnight, and they would put on screenings of current films just for him and a few friends.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, so that was a regular thing that he liked to do. Batman v Superman, Criminal, The Big Fat Greek Wedding
2. Good thing it wasn't Criminal.
Yeah, that would be a bad way to go out, right? Compadres and Eye in the Sky were your top 10 movies at the box office. In case you weren't listening early this morning, Bean mentioned a story I thought was worth talking about again, about the remarkable, my new girlfriend, the best woman ever, Cersei Hayes, who at 21 years old has become sort of a media celebrity, an internet celebrity, because she bears a remarkable resemblance to Ted Cruz in drag.
It's not good.
That's what you want as a lady, is to look like Ted Cruz, right?
I don't think as a man you want to look like Ted Cruz, let alone as a lady.
Correct.
She was on the Maury show on Monday to prove that her boyfriend was the father of her baby. So Maury does what he does. You know, he had 5 men give DNA samples so they could sort of narrow it down as to who was the dad of 21-year-old Cersei Hayes' baby. Turned out it was, in fact, her boyfriend, so he's happy. But then, because of her remarkable resemblance to Ted Cruz...
Somebody said she had sex with five guys?
We need to document that. And so xhamster.com, the porn site, offered her and her boyfriend and baby daddy, Freddie Green Jr., $10,000 for a six-minute sex scene. And the duo said, hells yeah.
No!
So they're going to earn a fast 10 grand for having sex for 6 minutes, which I think for Freddie will be like eight times. It's just...
Yeah.
It's...
Right?
Freddie, by the way, is happy to be dating a star now. He says she's more famous than Madonna.
Define more famous than Madonna.
Well, here's the thing.
Madonna's never been on the Maury Povich show.
This couple is at a loss in a lot of areas. For example, someone said to Cersei, lovely Cersei Hayes, 21 years old, you look just like Ted Cruz. Here was the problem. She had no idea this week who Ted Cruz was.
Okay.
Here's a little interview with Cersei. You're going to fall in love the way I did.
No, I didn't know of Ted Cruz. I've only, you know, known of Donald Trump sitting there running. I did not know, you know, that he had somebody else running against him, trying to get the position.
Yeah, she didn't know there was such a person as Ted Cruz. She knew Donald Trump, though.
But there was no competition?
Welcome to America. Welcome to America.
Her vote costs as much, counts as much as ours does.
That's right. So Cersei didn't even know Ted Cruz was a thing until someone said, you look just like him in drag. And she's as amazed by it as we all are, but she knows there's a higher purpose to it.
I never thought, you know, that somebody would compare me to, you know, like a president or, you know, whatever he was before he started running for president or anything. I mean, kind of, you know, still kind of shocked and, you know, amazed about it, but, you know, God does what he wants to do. So, I mean, I don't know if God did it, you know, for a reason to show me, you know, hey, you know, my life's done or... You know what he's trying to show me.
Yeah, your life's done.
What?
It's nice that they're in an aviary.
Why doesn't God kill that effing bird?
Well, when the Daily Mail went to interview her, she was outside of her trailer outside near the woods there where she lives.
Those birds knew what they were doing.
Mississippi.
A lot of birds there in the woods near her trailer. So
she's the best.
They were outdoors when they conducted that
interview. She's fantastic, Ralph.
She's remarkable. And it's God's way of showing her that her life is done.
Maybe.
Look, I don't blame her for taking the $10,000, though, right? That's more money than she's probably going to make the next 10 years.
Will you watch it, Bean?
Yes, I will.
Oh.
Will you really?
Yes, I will. I am totally invested in Cersei's story now.
If you take a good look at Cersei, that's not anybody you
take
want to
look,
watch.
Bean. Take another look, and then answer that question again.
Deeply fascinated with his family.
Nope. She has got
nope.
She's got quite a shape. She does. It's not necessarily. I don't know what. Maybe an octagon. I'm not sure what kind of shape it is, but it's not.
I'm not in on that.
Yeah. Ralph, she says she's going to buy a new truck and pay off her house and send her kid to school with this $10,000. So she may not have a real deep read on how far $10,000 goes.
Here's the thing. I believe her truck and her house are the same thing. So that's how
there you go.
To pay it off.
That saves some money, I guess.
Yeah.
She's the best.
She's the best.
She knew Donald Trump, though. And that's why he's in the lead.
Right.
Because the Cersei's of the world say, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I heard him. That's a name.
Hey, people, we don't want to get into this, but people who don't pay attention know Donald Trump is rich, successful, and famous. So why wouldn't he be good for America? He's done all those great things.
I'm a really smart guy.
Yes,
right? He's done all those things for himself. Why would he do stuff for us?
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
That's part of the beauty of him.
I am really proud. Yes. I am really honored.
Yes, and really rich. We know Donald. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jason Lee's 46 years old. Announcer Joe Buck turns 47. Renee Zellweger, also 47 today. Hank Azaria, the legendary actor and voiceover star of The Simpsons, 52 years old. And Al Pacino celebrates his 76th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me just tell you, that band right there, again, perfect Weenie Rose fan.
Fits in the Tantrums.
Yeah.
So much fun. So many great songs. You know so many great songs you don't know. Such incredible energy. A great band. That's what you want when it's sunny and you're at Irvine Meadows again for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, as you will be on Saturday, May 14th. Just announced this morning. What a lineup, you guys. What a lineup.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Perfect.
Yep. Can't go wrong.
Summer Afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Weezer.
Right.
Empire of the Sun.
Yep.
Right.
Panic at the Disco.
Uh-huh.
The Lumineers.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Do it.
Cold War Kids.
Uh-huh.
What is wrong with you,
Ryan? I'm his hype man.
You're the worst hype man ever.
Didn't say I was good.
So that's the main stage. And then we have the side stage like we do because, you know, we don't want to put on a concert list. We have 800 artists for you to enjoy all day long. And some of these... I thought this might be interesting because some of these, you know their songs maybe, but don't place them by the name. So we thought we might help you out. For instance, if I say to you, I say, Mike Snow, you're like, what? Who's Mike Snow? Here's Mike Snow. That's a great act. They got a lot of great songs, too.
Yay,
that is Genghis Khan. And then, of course, how about Allie, your little friend from Denmark, the band Lucas Graham?
Do it. Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely.
Lonely, lonely!
Also on the bill for the Weenie Rose 2016, the Strumbellas. This is Spirits.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. When the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh.
I kind of see that as a hands in the air, like you just don't care kind of moment at the Weenie Rose, don't you?
Agreed.
Nothing But Thieves. You guys don't know the band name? Maybe you know their song Trip Switch.
Trip Switch.
I think we know what you're doing when the power's out.
Another one of the newer acts on the bill this year on the side stage is Bishop. Here's her song called River.
Shut your mouth, baby, stand and deliver. Holy hands, holy baby, it's enough. Like a river, like a river. Shut your mouth and run like a river.
Can you imagine having to go through life with that voice?
Ugh, right.
Right.
And Allie, you're right. If somebody doesn't do a river and a sail mashup, they're missing out. That is good stuff. And an album that I've really been digging on lately by the band called Bare Hands. We're playing this song in K-Rock called 2 a.m.
Have you been digging on that?
I have been
digging. You've been digging on that album, have you been? Digging on it? Would you say you've been digging on it?
What is wrong with that? Is that not an expression?
Yes, it's a 1972 expression.
Anyway, all of these acts can be yours for one low, low price. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. We can't stress this enough. If you're just hearing about this and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to buy tickets to Ticketmaster on Friday, yeah, you can. But you do need to be a K-Rock Street Team member, and that is super easy to join. Just go to krock.com and sign up. You can get on for free in like 30 seconds to make sure that you get the password so that you can buy the tickets. All the details about how many you can buy and the different prices, you know, from the pit all the way down to the lawn, all that information is available at krock.com. We will see you on May 14th at the Weenie Roast.
No, I didn't know of Ted Cruz. I've only, you know, known of Donald Trump sitting there running. I did not know, you know, that he had somebody else running against him, trying to get the position.
That is a human being in the United States of America.
Right. Who can vote and cancel out your vote. That's right.
More?
Man, I never thought, you know, that somebody would compare me to, you know, like a president or, you know, whatever he was before he started running for president or anything.
Right.
I mean, kind of, you know, I'm still kind of shocked and, you know, amazed about it. But, you know, God does what he wants to do. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if God did it, you know, for a reason to show me, you know, hey, you know, my life's done or, you know, what he's trying to show me.
I feel like those birds are doing their best to drown her out because they know what she's saying is
meanwhile,
nonsense.
Back in heaven, geez, how can I show this woman that her life is over? Anybody got ideas? Go around the room. Anybody? Jesus, can I think? Why don't we make her look like Ted Cruz, Dad? Excellent. I like it.
Done.
Done. seriously, from now on, you shall look like Ted Cruz in drag.
You
asked
me.
A little message from me to you saying, cash it in.
You asked me a little while ago, Ralph, if I was going to watch the sex tape.
Yeah, you said yes immediately.
I hastily replied yes.
Enthusiastically, yes, you said.
I have since visited the video
from
where this audio came, and I think I'm gonna pass.
Nope,
I think
too late. You're in.
I don't think
committed.
I need to. Yeah. I'm not sure I
voted, dude. You can't take your vote back.
Right. I don't think I need to see that, though, now that I've had a better look.
You're making important decisions without all the facts.
Huh,
you know better than Circe Hayes.
It's not like
your vote is just as equal as ours is.
Yep, that's true. All right, 9:39. It is Monday morning. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. What's going on?
Because it is Monday morning, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to show you the movie going public. What people just like you went to see in the movie theaters. And apparently they like talking bears and big snakes. Who doesn't like a big snake, right? Jungle Book, number one again. $60.8 million. It's a juggernaut. Here's the thing you need to know. Jon Favreau is a good filmmaker.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He knows how to make people feel stuff.
Have any of you you guys seen this movie yet?
I have not had a chance, no. I know Kevin was too busy seeing Criminal.
Criminal.
So he didn't get a chance to see The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Because Criminal was calling him.
Well, that may have been a misstep. A rare Kevin misstep.
Huntsman: Winter's War was second in its debut weekend with $20 million. Then Barbershop, The Next Cut, Zootopia, and The Boss.
Why not Barbershop, Kevin?
Can't answer that. I looked at a few trailers. I saw Criminal. What a cast.
And nothing sounded familiar to you about, that's the movie everyone says is awful?
No, I don't pay attention to that ever, Bean. You should know that.
Okay.
I don't care what other people say about a movie.
Well, it may not stop you from going, but in terms
case,
in order of viewing,
right.
there seems to be about a half a dozen films that you would actually like and also had great trailers that you might see before this.
I never saw The Boss, for example, which I would love. And I didn't see that.
Yes, you're proving my point.
Yes, I'm proving your point. Yes. I'm with you that I made a bad decision.
So this one's on you, you're saying?
I'm taking responsibility for this.
So The Boss and Barbershop and Jungle Book, all of those movies were still out there in the theater.
Yes.
But you said, Criminal.
Ooh. Criminal.
Squirrel. And you just followed it into the theater. Criminal was seventh with $3.1 million this weekend. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Compadres, and Eye in the Sky were your top 10 films. Sad news. This one hits home because legendary soul singer Billy Paul, just a huge star in my hometown of Philadelphia and around the world, had some big hits, passed away this week at the age of 81. He was part of the Sound of Philadelphia, TSOP as it was known.
Sure.
Along with legendary writer, producers, Gamble and Huff. 1972 is probably the year of his biggest hit, a classic, which is still murdered by people in karaoke bars to this day. A little song called Me and Mrs. Jones. Ah, come on, that's not.
But if
I knew that was coming because I heard the little fart slip out before you played it.
What a voice he had.
That's not it. Wait, hold on.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Oh, maybe the most romantic song about cheating with someone else's wife ever. Billy Paul was 81 and just...
That's a great song.
It's a great song. He was a great singer.
Kevin, you hate old music, but that song comes on.
That's
come
not
on.
Bad.
You listen to that, right?
That's a slow jam right
not
there.
Bad. I'm down with slow jams.
Oh.
Allie, Me and Mrs. Jones?
Great song, but Love As it. We Lay is the best song about cheating.
That's a great song, too.
Right? Who's with me?
I don't know that song.
That person's alive, so I apologize for stealing your thunder on this dead dude.
You had to be said.
But no, but not on the radio. It had to be said on the radio.
Stand up for this man who can't speak for himself any longer.
Right, you can't use that language.
I did not get much sleep last night.
Right.
I made that.
Evidence.
Evidence.
But even no matter how much sleep you get, we still can't say that word on the radio.
I'm trying to push the boundaries. I'm trying to push the envelope.
It's very, we can't do that.
I'm changing the game.
We can't.
I'm changing the game.
But I'm saying we can't.
Look, I just did, I think.
We'll just save it for the podcast, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah. Going to do a podcast in Vermont this weekend. I'm flying to Vermont.
What?
For Bernie?
I'm doing Hollywood Babylon. Kevin Smith and I are performing in Burlington, Vermont this weekend.
How did that happen?
They said, we'd love you to come to our theater and perform your podcast.
Is it Higher Ground?
It is Higher Ground.
That is a great club. It's one of my favorite places.
And we sold out in like a week. Apparently not a lot going on in Burlington, Vermont.
And Higher Ground gets a lot of big names.
Yeah, so we're going to be performing there.
Oh.
So to all our Vermont listeners, Vermont affiliates.
I don't think we have an affiliate.
It doesn't matter because it's sold out. You can't get tickets anyway. So.
Suck it, Vermont.
Suck it, Vermont.
Are you going to be singing your hit?
And Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones. We got a thing.
This is making me extremely horny.
What are we doing, Mike, or me and Mrs. John?
Nope.
Ugh.
No, sir.
Nope.
We denied. Got a thing denied. Going on.
Denied.
Is it butt stuff?
Great question, though. Speaking of music, you know Phil Spector. Remember Phil Spector?
Yeah.
Phil Spector. He was that
crazy hair dude. Mm-hmm.
Crazily talented smash hit record producer from the 60s and 70s who, you know, kills people. You know, everybody's got flaws. What are you, perfect?
I mean, I don't kill people.
He's so aggressive.
He murdered actress Lana Clarkson at his Los Angeles area home. At least that's what the jury decided. Frame up. So, he's in prison and he married a woman just before he went on trial for murder, which is really seems like the bad idea to make an important decision like that under the duress of a pending murder trial. But he did marry the lovely Rochelle Short, and now he'd like a divorce. Because while he's inside, she is just burning through his $35 million fortune like nobody's business.
Wow. Oh, man. Maybe should have seen that coming.
Phil claims that Rochelle has already bought a $350,000 airplane. She got herself a little private plane, an Aston Martin, a Ferrari, two homes for her mother, lots of jewelry, some plastic surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Phil is afraid that he'll go broke by the time he's eligible for parole in 2028.
Oh, you're not getting out.
When he's 88 years old, he's concerned he won't be able to enjoy all of his riches once he gets out, maybe in 2028. So he would like a divorce now.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? If you marry someone just before you go to prison, and she's much younger than you, and
that's coming?
That's on you.
I wondered about that quick wedding, and I wondered if it was because he wanted conjugal visits, and you have to be married to get them.
Oh.
I wonder if that's why he decided to marry her.
Not worth $35 million.
No way.
He's paying a lot for those conjugal visits.
Yeah.
I would just look at my cellmate at that point. You know, really? Any port in a storm? I mean, come on. Cost saving. We're talking about cost saving issues right here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee is 46 years old today. Joe Buck, 47 years old.
I agree. He is number one, Ralph.
He's not.
That was a different figure. Yeah, sorry. That was a different.
I always, you know, that's how much I hate Joe Buck. He makes me feel bad for Troy Aikman. That's how bad he makes me feel.
That's weird. I like him. I think he's really talented.
I do too, and I like Troy as well.
So, Troy, what do you think about out there in the field? Are these guys going to get it together, or what are you feeling?
It's not what he does at all. He's a pompous dick.
I support you.
I wish he did it like that. How do you feel if you're these guys coming out of the locker room? You got to be upset, don't you, Troy?
Pompous.
I don't know what broadcast you're watching.
Oh, that's him. That's exactly his tone.
That's him.
I love
coming
that,
off of three losses. They got to be concerned about this thing that's going on, don't they, Troy?
Douchebag. Renee Zellweger is 47 years old today. Hank Azaria is 52. And, let me tell you, who else
is having a birthday today. Alphonse Pacino. That's right. I'm 76 years old. And look at this. Rock hard.
Yeah.
Ooh-ah. I will take a flamethrower and burn this place to the ground. Ooh-ah.
That's necessary.
That's the showbiz beat. Suck it.
I think that's how they should all end from now on. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Andrew Siciliano. Did you guys know that Tom Brady is being suspended from football games? That's still a thing? Did you know that was still a thing?
The Deflategate happened when he was still in college, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
what
I thought.
Michigan. It was sad.
So that's happening again at the beginning of next year, apparently. So we're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. We also have Mark Maron in studio, one of our favorites, and from UFC 200, Cain Velasquez. Beer Mug's been mouthing off a lot about how he can beat him up. It scares me. I don't know what he's doing.
Then you have my permission to die.
Kane, I loved him in that movie.
That's...
Kevin, come on. You can do it, buddy.
Come on.
Kev. There's the finish line right there. Just got to break the tape. Come on.
Just fall forward.
Come on.
You can do it, Lammy.
Come on.
Should I just play the commercial or wait?
You can do it.
Come on.
Do it again.
It rhymes just like Kane. It's the bad guy from Dark Knight Rises.
Gotham City will be in ashes.
Jesus,
Kevin.
God
damn it.
Just play the commercial.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Santa Monica College.